Before the Boeing Dreamliner, there was the Boeing Superfortress. The B-29 was an innovative aircraft designed to fly at high altitude and over long distances. Many credit it for bringing an end to World War II. But 70 years ago Monday, the B-29 faced a major setback. It was a setback that was to become one of the worst air disasters in Seattle's history. Felix Bunnell has a story in the next installment of This Not Just In.
It's time for another edition of KUOW's This Not Just In, the occasional series where we take a moment of your day to share a moment of history, a thrilling audio voyage of forgotten events from years past, events that have defined the people and character of the Pacific Northwest. Now here's your host, Felix Bunnell.
In the winter of 1943, Seattle was a wartime city. Soldiers and sailors thronged the sidewalks downtown. But one of the busiest places was the Boeing factory along Marginal Way South.
All the day long, whether rain or shine, she's a part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory, Rosie the Riveter.
24 hours a day, Rosie the Riveters and other war workers churned out B-17 Flying Fortress bombers.
The Flying Fortresses, the pioneer four-motored bomber. In the air since 1935.
Boeing's B-17 was already famous as a workhorse of the war in Europe. The planes were a familiar sight across the street on the runways at Boeing Field and in the skies over the city. It was around lunchtime on February 18, 1943, when a woman in the Smith Tower noticed a military plane flying low over downtown, headed south. Smoke was pouring from one of the engines and the plane was dropping fast. The woman could tell this wasn't a B-17. This was something different. It was bigger. And it was a secret.
They were building the mightiest aircraft in history. They were building the Boeing-designed B-29 Super Fortress.
Boeing had been working secretly for 3 years to develop a high-capacity, high-altitude bomber. The public didn't know about it then, but eventually the B-29 would become one of the most well-known American aircraft of World War II. But on that Thursday in February 18, 1943, the mystery aircraft heading toward Boeing Field was one of only two B-29 prototypes in existence. And it was in trouble. At the controls was Edmund T. Allen, the most experienced test pilot at Boeing and perhaps in the entire aviation industry. But the new plane was on fire. And this time, even the great Eddie Allen couldn't save it. The doomed bomber clipped power lines in Georgetown, and knocked out electricity to thousands of homes and businesses. It then smashed through the roof of the Fry meatpacking plant north of the runway. The plane was loaded with fuel, and the building exploded into flames. All 11 members of the crew died in the crash. The fire also killed 20 workers in the plant, and a Seattle firefighter perished battling the blaze. It was later revealed that the crash and the loss of the flight test crew seriously threatened development of the B-29. The bomber was pivotal in Allied battle plans for the Pacific, and the delay was a major setback for the war effort.
The president knew that distances had put a premium on long-range air power. To strike Japan, he had a new weapon. Roosevelt promised 200 B-29 superforts by March 1944.
By early June 1944, just over a year after the Seattle crash, the bomber saw combat for the first time when nearly 100 B-29s attacked the Japanese.
On the target, and a load of bombs to batter Jap plane factories, steel mills, docks, and other installations, blasting key objectives that will otherwise prolong the war and cost many American lives.
And the B-29 was in the news again when it flew a mission now regarded as among the most controversial in history. This is Webley Edwards of CBS relaying an eyewitness account of the atomic bomb dropped from a superfortress on Hiroshima in August 1945.
And the boiling continued several minutes as we watched. Then the mushroom of smoke broke off and another developed below it. This one bomb is the equivalent of a 2,000 B-29 raid.
Over 100,000 people died in the atomic blasts.
We have another bulletin here. Japan surrenders. Japan surrenders. Now repeating the entire bulletin, the Japanese government has accepted the Allied surrender formula embodied in the note dispatched to Tokyo by the United States.
70 years later, critics argue whether or not the atomic bomb was necessary. Some say Japan would have surrendered anyway. What's not debatable is that the B-29 program rose from the ashes of the devastating Seattle crash, and the Superfortress fired the last volley of World War II and the first of the nuclear age and the Cold War. Before anyone knew the bombers would play this historic role, Army Production Chief General William Knudsen said it best when he described the B-29 this way. "War," Knudsen told a Seattle audience, "is a rock-throwing contest, and the fellow with the most rocks wins. So," said the general, "that's why we've got to keep on building those rocks." I'm Felix Bonnell for this Not Just In.
It was early one morning when all the good work was done.
To hear more stories from our historical series, This Not Just In, go to our website, kuow.org.
With that awful atomic bomb.